Hi there, you're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm David Hogg, and a while ago on A Little Alternative, I put out a call for blind or partially sighted musicians to get in touch and share their stories. Well, I finally got one now. I've got the West Midlands-based singer-songwriter and RNIB community facilitator, Nikki Kelly, on the line. Hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, can't complain. It's a bit warm, but,
you know. Isn't it?
Just to introduce yourself to the listeners, what is it that you do for RNIB?
So I work in the West Midlands as the community facilitator, and my role is working on RNIB Connect and trying to reduce the amount of isolation amongst the blind and partially sighted community.
Okay.
That's it in a nutshell, and so it can range from helping to create events, helping to improve or introduce new services, and we work in co-production with the community to make sure it's what they want.
Brilliant. So, what is your eye condition? Or, as someone once asked me, how blind are you?
Well, I guess if you consider blind being not seeing at all, I guess I'm not at all. But my condition is I have optic atrophy and keratoconus, patches of good vision, but have very little field of vision in both.
So, based on what we're here for, you're just about to drop a brand new song, Show You What I'm Made Of. Can you tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, so this song, I wrote it a few years ago, and it was really the first song that I wrote where I thought I really want to perform it myself, because previously I've been writing with and for artists and pitching songs within the music industry.
Okay.
And there was just something about this song that I just didn't have the heart to give it to anybody else. And the song was about my story, talking about how, you know, when people tell you, and I guess we probably get this quite a lot being visually impaired or people with disabilities, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And this song is kind of like, well, actually, yes, I can. And I'm going to show you what I'm made of.
You mentioned there that you used to write songs for other people. So was that just a case of you'd write a song and go, oh, that would fit so-and-so's voice? Or was it they would approach you and ask you to write a song for them?
So it would work in a number of ways. So sometimes it would be, you know, I've written this song and I really think it would suit such and such a person, and so I'd try my best to contact their manager or their publishers and say, hey, how about this for this person? Or sometimes people will say that, I don't know, Rihanna is looking for a reggae-inspired song that talks about falling in and out of love, and then you would write the song and then pitch it to whoever.
Okay.
Or sometimes it would be artists who I've got to know would say, I'm writing for my new album or a new EP. You want to get in on this writing session, and we'll do co-writes that way.
Oh, nice. I suppose that fleshes out your writing canvas as well, because you're writing for loads of different styles and different voices almost. So I suppose that can really make the creative juices flow.
Yeah, it really can. And, you know, it's really great, especially writing with the artist, because when you're in the room with the artist and they're maybe telling you a story or something that's recently happened to them, you can really grab on how they would say it, and you can turn it into a song that, you know, they maybe never thought would come to life. And, you know, it's great. It really does help you cut your teeth, so to speak, and writing for and with others.
Enough about other artists. Let's talk about you. So this new song, when you were composing it, because there's loads and loads of different styles in it, you know, it starts off kind of singer-songwriter. There's like trance elements in it as well, and of course the rap section. So what was the composing process in getting all of the different parts of the song to fit together?
It was really interesting, because I wrote that song. It took me about half an hour to write that song.
Wow.
And I wrote it on my acoustic guitar just in my living room one day. It just really came really quickly. And then it was the production process that really took the longest, because we had about two sessions and we purposely didn't start with guitar. We were just like, right, let's, because I would know that I wanted to include a lot of electronic elements, because I really enjoy listening to electronic music, but I still love the natural and warmth of organic instruments. And I really wanted drums that sounded big and something that felt like this could be an anthem, and we put that down and it just seems to develop really from there. And, you know, we both like a range of music, and I feel that we've got almost every genre in that song somehow.
So going back even further, you know, what was it about music that made you want to go, right, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, because when I started to lose my vision, I was 22 when I started to lose my vision. And
right.
Previous to that, I was fully sighted and I was really struggling with my mental health. And I was really depressed at the time. And there was a song that came on, and in that split second, it made me think differently. And so I decided to write down how I felt, and I started to write poems initially.
Oh.
And then I was like, oh, I'd really love to put some music to it. And at the time, I couldn't play an instrument, and so I'd have to get other people, which, as I was a bit of a loner, I guess, back then, I didn't really want to interact with people.
Yeah.
So I taught myself how to play some chords on guitar and piano so that I could start to build it up myself, and then I started to hit brick walls with my learning. So after that, I decided to get lessons, and then from there it developed into writing songs.
There's a real DIY approach to the way that you both create and share your music. Is that something you think serves you well?
Yeah, I feel it does, because I've got, when you are doing it DIY, you know, you're the decision maker at every stage, whereas, you know, if you are signed to a label, you are going to be pushed and pulled in different directions, which can be great if you feel that you need that guidance. But I feel, in order to stay true to myself, I need to be able to just get on with it and be able to experiment, which, you know, being DIY has allowed me that.
Yeah, I think it was the 1975 that said, a camel is a horse designed by a committee. It's exactly true. You don't...
I love that. That's brilliant.
This EP, we've heard one song from it so far. What can listeners expect from the rest of it? Is it more in the same vein, or can we expect more variations, different styles and all?
Yeah, there will definitely be a variation of styles, and I think there's one song in particular called Snakes and Ladders that's really urban, and you know, if you're into your hip hop or urban R&B that's quite modern, I think that would appeal to you. And then there's a song that I've played to people that have said that it's really experimental, and it reminds them of, not that it would ever be on this level, but it reminds them of Bohemian Rhapsody, because it's just not where you expect it to go, I guess.
That's a big comparison.
Yeah, trust me, it's a lovely comparison, but I wouldn't put any song up there with Bohemian Rhapsody. That's just the song that comes around once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's because parts of it are quite operatic, and
okay.
It's got a choir on it. It's just, you know, a bit of a departure from where you start to where you end up on that song is two very different places. When I look at my record collection and when I look and listen to my EP, I kind of hear a bit of everything in there.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. I didn't think that it would turn out that way, because, you know, I mainly do listen to hip hop and R&B. See, they're on my mind all the time. Hip hop and R&B. I have to say it slowly so I can get it out.
Try saying it every week on the radio at 9 o'clock at night.
I think if you cut me open, it will just say R&IB.
Speaking of R&IB and not R&B, you've been really instrumental in some of the stuff they've done over the past 6 months to a year to 18 months. You know, the See the Funny Side, their stuff at Glastonbury. What do you think the importance of a charity like R&IB is to the blind and partially sighted community?
R&IB are basically the hand you need to hold when you lose your vision. And, you know, they have so many different services and so many different opportunities that can help rebuild people's confidence if they've lost their vision at a later point in life. And it also, just to get that emotional support, and also, and Connect, which is vital, is there to reduce isolation and for that peer-to-peer support, because it's so important to mix with people that are going through something similar to you, because a lot of people probably are going through it on their own and there's not a family member who can necessarily relate. So to have a place to go to where you know, a safe place to go to where you can talk about how you feel, meet people that are going through the same thing. It's essential. It's what R&IB do is absolutely essential for anyone living with sight loss.
You've discussed your own sight loss a bit, but how does that impact your music creation, production, and performing? Is it a major barrier, or is it just something that you've learned to deal with?
Yeah, I guess it's something that I have learned to deal with, but there are still barriers that I have to overcome. Like, you know, so many venues aren't accessible, and, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I just have to, you know, ring promoters and say, look, I'm visually impaired, can you do this? And as obviously a lot of gigs take place at night, my vision's worse in the dark, so it can be a bit difficult getting around. But, you know, what I have noticed and realised is if you ask for the help, people are more than willing to give it.
Yeah.
Because that's why I guess I'm able to continue and pursue.
Single's out now, the EP is on its way. Once that's all out and in the world, what's next for you?
Wow. It's really funny because even though this EP isn't out yet, we're already starting to plan the next EP, and I'll start to record that in October, which is really, really exciting.
Mm.
In the meantime, I'm going to be doing two big gigs. On the 1st of September, I'll be playing the Lexington in London, supporting an artist called Emily Lee, which will be a really great night. And then on the 15th of October, I'll be doing my EP launch in Birmingham at the Crescent Theatre in the Bar. And those tickets are on sale from Friday, the 27th of July.
Brilliant. And if people want to get in touch with you, buy tickets, send you tweets,
yes,
anything, where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can get in touch with me either via my website, which is www.nickikelly.co.uk. Twitter and Facebook, I am at Nikki Kelly.
Fantastic. And Nikki, thank you very much for talking to me.
A pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you enjoy the single.
Very welcome. You've been listening to R&IB Connect Radio.